We pray daily like to say, pray in the Holy Ghost daily, because it is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's go there. And we talked earlier about even the disciples themselves did not have any power until they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost and power is forever connected. And if you want to grow, if you don't want to just be emotion-led all the time, going off the handle all the time, going off on people all the time, then you're going to have to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because the Word of God says, I think it's in James, about no man can tame the tongue, but the Holy Ghost can. Amen. So there's always help for what we need to do. Now, we may choose not to do it because we don't feel like doing it, but then we don't have any excuse. But if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost consistently, then our life is kind of like a roller coaster. Consistently headed in a positive direction. We're up and down, you know. We used to call it a long time ago yo-yo Christians. Up and down, up and down. We don't want to do that. We want to be on solid ground and making progress. Every month, every 6 months, every year, we ought to see some change in our life. Something's different about us. Whether it's our walk, talk, or our conversation, our behavior, our language, or something has to be different. If we continue to doing the same thing over and over, then we're not allowing God to have his way and allowing the Holy Spirit to be truly our guide and our teacher. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14, he says, the Word of God says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth." Who prays? "But my understanding is unfruitful." Now, what does that mean? He's saying that his mind does not understand what's going on. And that's the thing about it. It is something, and that's why people fight the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because their mind cannot figure it out. They try to figure out spiritual things with natural things, and it just won't work. Spiritual matters have to be discerned and dealt with spiritually, and natural things the same way. And so you cannot put the Holy Ghost under a microscope and tell what the Holy Ghost is doing or what he has done. Now, when I say you, I'm always talking about the universal you, which is us. If we're praying in tongues consistently, you will find that your language and your conduct and your tone will change. And I work for the city, and there's a lot of times where I'm out in the public and working with businesses. Or would you activate this mic here, but don't keep both of them on, that people are mad with the government, and sometimes I'm the only face of the government that they see. And so I'm in these meetings, and they be jugging at you, and on and on and on. I just let them say what they got to say. Ain't no eye rolling, no teeth sucking, or nothing. Glory to God. Because I understand that it's not directed at me personally, you know, because they won't get a chance probably to sit in a meeting. Most people don't anyway, with the mayor or deputy mayor or somebody, you know, in a lot higher authority than I have. And so, you know, we take shots at whoever is present. And because of God. And I had people so many times say, you know, I don't know how you keep your cool in these meetings and stuff, and I just tell them, I say it's God. See, if you allow God to be in charge of your life, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect. If you let God to be in charge of your life, it will just show up. Now, I'm like everybody else. I would prefer to be lax and not, folks bothering you and jigging at you or what have you. But we don't live in a world like that anymore. Somebody's going to have something to say. But I don't waste my time or energy, trying to defend what I know is right. It takes too much time to do that. And it is a time hog, trying to defend yourself from certain things. So people are going to say what they want to say, and that's okay as long as we keep our program together. Then we understand that they will. It'll be a lie. Amen. Amen. So another thing that happened when the Holy Ghost came, the church grew. They were bringing in people like 3,000 at a time. Sometime, I mean, the church grew. If you want the church to grow, then the majority of the members, must be speaking in tongues, and. I'm afraid to take a census, but I can tell you probably not the majority of us are speaking in tongues for whatever reason. And I can tell by how it got real. It was already quiet. It got a lot more quieter when I said that. And there's really no excuse for it. I mean, because if you don't know what, I mean, you should be, at this point, you should at least be practicing at home. Because if you're trying to let your head determine whether what you said was tongues or not, the devil will play with you for the rest of your life. You just have to speak and believe that what you that you've been filled and that what's coming out is tongues. Amen. I mean, there's no school of tongues that we can write tongues on the board now and say, you say this. Now, I know sometimes the tithe envelopes be written in tongues sometimes, and can't nobody interpret them. But there is no chalkboard that we could use to tell you what to say. Everything that we do in Christianity is all about trusting God. So you got to believe that you've been filled. You may sound like the Gerber baby. But if you will do that not just on Sunday morning, but all the time, you will become more fluent in speaking in tongues. And all throughout the day, you're having fellowship with God, and not just when a crisis arrives or when there's an emergency, you plug in all the time. And so it's so powerful, and I'm shocked and in awe of why our folks will not do that, because we know that there's a benefit. We've read countless scriptures about the positive effect of it. We know that the early church needed it. Paul. Was a tongue talker. Matter of fact, he told the church in Corinthians, "I speak in tongues more than you all." And that bunch at Corinth were some tongue talkers. Matter of fact, Paul created some rules and regulations about speaking in tongues because they were all out of order. They'd give in the middle of service anytime and just start saying stuff. And so he had to create some rules and regulations. And that's what happens with anything. If any move of God that happens, there's always going to be some excess. We take it a little further than it should go. And, so you tolerate with some excess in order to get the results, as long as the excess is not a hindrance to the rest of us. But if it's so wonderful to be in charge of your emotions and not emotionless, but to be in charge of them, and you don't have to, you're not angry all the time. I don't know when the last time I went to bed angry, or woke up angry, or stayed angry longer than seconds. I really don't. I just cannot, I don't know that. And if you are not flowing in the Holy Ghost on a regular basis, you're liable to go off on somebody. It don't take nothing for you to go off on somebody. Amen. You know, you're just having a regular conversation. Somebody asks you a question, and you'll go off on them. Why? Because our mind is on all these other things, and the Holy Ghost, will help that, help your mind, but we won't talk in tongues on a regular basis. You know, walking from one classroom to the other, you got 3 or 4 minutes for a little praise time, but most of us got, we walking with our phone. That's why we miss it. We love our phones. Did you turn this mic on, man? Why don't I hear me? Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me now? Just lower than the other one. Okay. I'm going to take y'all word for it. So don't be asking me what you speak up. Because y'all said it. Amen. And so the Holy Ghost is essential. You have to make up in your mind, are you satisfied with where you are in life? Financially, socially, physically? Are you satisfied? Most people are not. And what's the answer? It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. We get to the point now. I mean, everybody's getting health conscious, and that's a good thing. But we're turning food and exercise is the new God now. See, we worshiping the creation more than the Creator. Amen. Now, it is a good thing to eat right, and it's a good thing to exercise. But we've got to give all glory and all honor to God for everything that we do, everything that happens in our life. Glory and honor must go to God. And he certainly can teach you how to eat right and exercise, but we're giving him the glory and honor. And so there are so many adjustments that we need in life, and that's why Jesus left the Holy Spirit, and the Father left the Holy Spirit back here. Jesus said that it's better for us that he leave so the Holy Spirit can come, because the Holy Spirit's job is to help us on a day-to-day basis. Glory to God. Jesus' job was finished. Jesus came here to pay the price so that we wouldn't die that second death. That first death is not the death that we should be afraid of. It's the second death. And that's when you go to hell. That's really the key. Now, folks are dancing around that the whole time and decide that they want to do what they want to do, live the way that they want to live. But God's a good God. And then a lot of people play with the grace of God, because we understand how deep God's grace is and how deep his love is. But you got to know this. What we do has an impact on how we will live. Now, you can go to heaven, but you will get there a lot quicker by not living the way God wants you to live. Amen. Sleeping around with too many people, drinking too much, on and on and on, that all that stuff will get you to see Jesus a whole lot faster than doing the right thing. Amen. God loves you, but there are consequences. Even though he's paid the price, there's consequences to ungodly living that your body will have to pay for. Now, a lot of people don't want to like to hear that, especially if you don't want to do the right thing, because we feel like that once we get 18, 19, 20, we're growing, we can do what we want to do. Technically, you can. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, basically what you're saying, Jesus, I want you to run everything. You in charge of everything. But we don't give Jesus charge of everything. You say, well, Jesus, I don't want you to tell me nothing about Pookie. I don't want you to tell me, you know, who to date, who not to date, what to drink and what not to drink, what to eat and what not to drink. You just be there when I call 911, and that's all right with me. But that's not what lordship is all about. You surrender everything to God. And a lot of people, especially young people, think, oh, man, that we ain't going to be able to have no fun. Y'all done had y'all fun, and now y'all trying to keep us. No, we trying to keep you from not burning, you know, burning your head and getting the same hickeys that we got. Amen. Everybody doesn't have to learn the same thing the hard way. Amen. And you'll see it in families. You know, folks mess up and then and they'll see how their sisters are suffering and their brothers are suffering, you know. They made all these bad mistakes and caused all this hurt in their life. And they'll do the same thing. Why? You know, because if you're not allowing God into your life, your flesh will be running you. And you just continue to mess up and mess up. And every adult should know what I'm talking about. You have your life would be like Groundhog Day. You'd be making the same thing. The devil don't have to go very deep into his trick bag. Because the same trick work all the time. I'll just send Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome by. Glory to God. I can just send Miss Fine by. Glory to God. You know, you'll leave your wife and Miss Fine. Happens all the time. Why? Because we're not doing the right thing. Let's go next door to the 13th chapter. You say, well, how, you know, why we got to keep on speaking? Do we still need to speak it? Yeah, you got to speak it. How long? Well, till Jesus get back. Shouldn't took you very long to go to the next door. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9 says, it says charity in the KJV, but they're not talking about handout charity. They're talking about love. Love never fails. Everybody say that. Glory to God. Then go down to, let's just finish reading 8. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. You say, okay, there you go, Pastor. You know, tongues going to cease. Well, let's just keep on reading. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is perfect is come, amen. It's talking about when Jesus returns. He is the one that is perfect. When he come, glory to God, then that which is in part shall be done away with. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Boy, it is nothing worse than a childish man. A man that's just acting like a child all the time. Amen. And, oh boy, I'm finna get in trouble now. And a lot of sisters got their men acting like children. Because you want to run the house. Yeah, I said it. I run it up in here. See, you may be making more money. It might even be your house. One of the worst things you can do is marrying somebody and they get in their house and they start talking about, this is my house. Boy, and I would be looking to see, well, how many days does it take to be married before you can get a no? Because that ain't going to stop. Every time something happens, that pie going to hit you in the face. This is my house. You know, that hour. What happened to that hour? You know, all them vows we made up front. This is my house. Goodness. And so we won't allow men to be men. And then some men just need just a little help. If you could just motivate them just a little bit. Just a little bit. They'll start shining. But, we keep trying to compare your man with somebody, you know, somebody else and stuff. Don't stop doing that. Just tell him how great that he is. Have that, make that lunch if he, if he's in the type of job that he brings a lunch, have that lunch ready for him. No, he shouldn't be up making no sandwiches. You make the sandwich. You have that lunch box for him, you be standing by the door and say, boy, you get this lunch and you get back here. Glory to God. Amen. Get on back here. Brother, go out there. He be singing while he working. We miss it. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even so as I am known. Now, one of the key phrases, if not the key phrase in this passage says, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. So when Jesus comes, there will be no back for the church. There will be no reason to prophesy. We don't need to speak in tongues then. There will be no need for healing. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. But I tell you what, there will always be a need for is love. Love works here on earth and is work in heaven. And if you can't get it right here, you're going to have a hard time in heaven. Amen. Because your nature, will follow you around. That's why you got to practice being what God wants you to be now. Amen. You can't allow people to mess with you and feel like, you got to get back at everybody all the time. You ain't got that much ammunition. Let stuff go. Amen. Let's go one chapter over again. As folks are always talking about, why we got to speak in tongues? I've been done away with. The last apostle died. Where did it say that at when the last apostle died? Nowhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And it says, and God had set some, who said it? Some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly, teachers. What is he talking about here? Ministries. Ministries. Look at your neighbor and say, God is talking about ministries. And so that's the subject. So that's why, saints of God, we have to rightly study the word of God, because you'll read something in just a moment that sounds like it's okay not to speak in tongues. That you don't have to speak in tongues. And God set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues, all apostles, all prophets, all teachers, all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. So you look at verse 30 and say, well, all don't speak in tongues. But they're talking about ministry gifts. We don't all operate in those ministry gifts. It's not talking about our individual lives. It's talking about ministry. No, we're not all prophets, or miracle workers, or apostles, or teachers, on and on and on. So when you look at something, you got to look at, you know, the verse before it, the verse after it, and then you have to sit down and meditate on it. Because if you just read verse 30 by itself, it sounds like, you know, do all speak in tongues. And people look at that and say, there you go. Everybody ain't got to speak in tongues. But he's not talking about everybody. This is ministry gifts he's talking about. I don't know how I could say this, but it behooves us to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Many are filled but not speaking, and start speaking in tongues. There is no excuse. If you're ashamed to do it at church, then do it at home. And then when you do it at home regular enough, you won't be ashamed to do it at church. It'll just flow. Sometimes it feels like you just can't stop it. Amen. But you can. Amen. Don't ever get up and say, well, the Holy Ghost made me do it. Well, I'm glad you say that, so I'm going to pray that he make you tired, too. And stop treating people bad. Amen. See, there's a difference between the, you know, people who teach and those who, you know, have heard the word. And so we got to stop walking in our own understanding. We need help. I don't know about you, I need help to understand the word of God. And going to Yale or Harvard or the best theological institutes in this country will not help me understand that. It takes the Holy Spirit. To be quite honest, and a lot of the best theological schools, that's where all of this stuff comes from about, you know, healing and miracles and tongues went away when the last apostle died. That is a theological debate that's going on for quite a while now. And they're eloquent speakers and come from magnificent schools. But I tell you what, boy, can't nobody teach you like the Holy Ghost. Amen. So if you're not strong when you go there, you'll be a little shaky when you get out of there. You will be a little shaky coming out. So I'm not trying to discourage you if that's what God has called you to do. I'm just saying you better be strong when you go. Amen. As I was saying, you know, stop walking in your own understanding. Get some help. Go to John. This race we're in, you got to be patient. You're raising children, you have to be patient. Sometimes your adult children, you know, you just don't understand why they do what they do. Well, you got to be patient. Just keep on praying. Amen. Can't fuss nobody. You can't fuss nobody out of a bad habit. You can love them out of it. It would be good if you could fuss somebody out. We'd have every Friday, Gwen, I'm going to call a fussing meeting. Everybody just come and just bring your husband. We just going to fuss. Y'all just fuss. Y'all get on this road. Y'all get on that road. We're just going to be fussing. And when everybody walk out, everybody be in love. No, it's going to be some fighting when they walk out. It'll be fighting in the car at the light. Otherwise, some sisters, wait, why? You know, why you driving? You can't do nothing. Just punch you right into the car. So you trying to get her off of it. Make that car crash. John chapter 14, verse 16. Glory to God. John 14. Y'all found it yet? He says in verse 15, I like this verse, if, everybody say if, Everything is conditional when it comes to Christianity. Either you love Jesus or you don't. If you love me, then he said, now keep my commandments. Let me say it this way. If you love me, then do what I tell you to do. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love you. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I love you. Well, I want you to go and talk to your neighbor about Jesus. I can't stand them. That dog be pooping in my yard. No, you said, you know, you love me. If you love Jesus, how does Jesus know whether you love him or not? If you are doing what he told you to do, it ain't about these wonderful songs we sing or how much we put in the bucket. It's about, are we doing what he told us to do? That's how he knows whether he loves us or not. That's why I love the gospel, because it is so simple. Are we doing what God told us to do? And everybody got your own answer. Don't be trying to get nobody else's answer. Got your own answer. And he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Glory to God. He, in other words, he's going to comfort you just like I did. That he may abide with you, how long? Forever, forever. Glory to God. Even the Spirit of Truth, that's another name for the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world, who's the world? Anybody that is not saved is the world. I don't know what them brothers and sisters was thinking about. Remember, they had that song, We Are the World. I wouldn't be, you know, if they really knew what they were singing. I mean, it was a whole, y'all remember the song? It was a whole bunch of stars. We are the world. Goodness. Verse 17, even the Spirit of Truth, who the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells within you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is, you cannot get the Holy Spirit without being saved. Now, you can say some stuff that sounds like tongues. People do that all the time. But you cannot get the Holy Spirit without being saved. That is the prerequisite for receiving the Holy Ghost. You've got to have a relationship with God the Father. Jesus has to be your Lord. And that's what the Word of God says. You cannot get the Holy Ghost. So you have to understand that. So your unsaved family members cannot get the Holy Ghost without being saved. Go to Acts chapter 11. Not that far away. Acts chapter 11. A couple more verses and we'll close. Acts chapter 11, verse 1 says, And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So that group at one time thought, you know, it was just the Jews receiving the word of God. Acts chapter 11, verse 2. And when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, talking about Jewish Christians, contended with him, saying, thou wentest in unto men uncircumcised, the nerve of him, and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, and I saw a vision, and a certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. In verse 6, he says, upon the which when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. So he is kind of breaking this down to him. You know, he could have fussed with them because they was hot at him, you know, for fellowshipping with the Gentiles. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered and said unto me again from heaven, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. Glory to God. Amen. So he was letting them know all those laws that they had about the pork and all that other stuff is not applicable anymore. Now, that doesn't mean you can go on a pork rage, because it can mess with your pressure if you are prone to have an elevated pressure. So you got to be smart. You know, you eat some ribs every now and then. You can't just sit around eating a whole slab and take your pills and eat a slab. Now you're playing. Verse 10. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up into heaven. So, you know, he had to get tell him three times before, I guess, it sunk in. Just like us. We hear it one time and it just don't sink in. And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, and I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. See, how can you hear unless somebody is sent? You have to hear about Jesus in order to know about Jesus. Amen. How you think your neighbor gonna get saved unless somebody tell them about Jesus? Amen. So that's why we are strengthening our outreach. We have to tell people about Jesus. Verse 15, and I began to speak. The Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the gift, as he did unto us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Or who am I? Glory to God that I can withstand God. When they heard these things, they held their peace. Talking about those Jewish Christians. That was, putting them on the carpet. They held their peace and glorified God, saying, then God has also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. See, it's because they thought they had it all by themselves. And, you know, we got churches now that think they're the only ones. Matter of fact, they won't even come into a church that is not, has their name on it. Not even for a funeral. How people get so misled. Amen. See, these people were saved so they could receive the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is important, saints. Once again, it's given after salvation. It's accompanied in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we need the Holy Spirit. But God is not going to force us to receive the Holy Spirit, just like he didn't force us to get saved. How many people in here, God made you get saved? You say, get saved or else. Nobody in here. It's a choice. So the thing we got to understand that when we pray in tongue, our spirit is praising God. It is. It's praising God. And that's why it's so powerful, and it's a tool you need to use on a regular basis, because as you are praising God, you are being edified or lifted up or build up on the inside. And so it takes your mind off of all of those issues that the devil will just put all of these things in your mind. And that's why we go off on each other, because our minds are so full of stuff. But if we will allow the Holy Ghost on a regular basis to minister to us, then our minds will become calm and at peace. Thank you, Lord God. You say, I don't know about that tongue talking. Well, I got news for you. Two-thirds of the New Testament was written by a tongue talker named Paul. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's do one or two more verses, and then we'll close. Not that I'm trying to get y'all out here to watch no football or nothing. Thank you, Lord. Do I want to go there or not? Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, tongues is not foreign languages. It's not, you know, the ability to learn foreign languages or anything like that. Still hear pages. We're not there? And that's what they said in Acts chapter 1. They were speaking in known language. Well, the truth about it, they were speaking in known and unknown language during that whole period. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak in the tongues of men and angels, as verse 1, pardon me, and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. In other words, you know, I could talk in tongues all I want, but if I'm not walking in love, I'm just making a whole bunch of noise. You see how important love is? God said in Hebrews 11:6, he said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But it takes, there's another verse that says faith works by what? By love. And so you can't get away from love. So that's why I don't understand people that won't walk in love, because you're walking against God. Now what we do is get mad at people rather than the forces that are motivating people to do what they do. And so what we need to be doing is binding up those unclean spirits that's causing them to act the way that they act, and stop getting on people and use our spiritual weapons against those that area of darkness that causes people to act the way they act. Why do you think your teenagers change from when they were babies until they get up to puberty? What happens? You know, it's a force that starts messing with their head at that age, because, I mean, they're so vulnerable. And if they don't get on track, sometimes it takes 30, 40 years for them to get back on track, if they get on track. I mean, just suffer and don't have to suffer. What did I leave off at? Verse 2? And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Goodness. All you can do all these wonderful things, but the Word of God says if you ain't got love, you ain't got nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, say, Pastor, I'm feeding the poor. All right. And though I give my body to be burned and have not love, what does it say? It profits me nothing. So all our motives still has to be all about love. Amen. Don't ever forget that, saints. Anything is missing with your love, you got to treat it like a rattlesnake. You got to deal with that, because you don't ever want anything that's that messes with your love to dominate you at all. You got to deal with that. So very important. So we're praying out miracles, mysteries rather, when we speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Keep saying we're going to end, but we will end at some point. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says in verse 4, and he was saying, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, glory to God, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to know. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Amen. And so before I comment on that, let's go to verse 14 real quick. Chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 1 says, follow after love. You see that word charity? Once again, that's love. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh what? Mysteries. And that's what my point was earlier, is that we are, you know, when we speak in tongues, we are praying and speaking out mysteries that the devil don't understand. It is between your spirit and God's spirit. And not only that, but it says in verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, builds himself up. Amen. But he says also, but he that prophesied builds up the whole church. But, you know, your prayer language in tongues will build you up. Prophecy is a divine word from God spoken in a known language. For us, that would be English. That builds up the church. When you're speaking to yourself in an unknown tongue or unknown language, it builds you up, it builds you up on the inside. Spiritually, you just become stronger and stronger. And that's the difference between one Christian than another. It's just a consistent praying in tongues. You could do it while you're driving. It's so easy. Why? Because you do not have to think. You can drive 100 miles an hour praying in tongues because you don't have to think. It's flowing directly from your spirit. But you try to learn Spanish driving 100 miles an hour on your DVD or CD player in your car. It's a little different. It's a little different. So thanks to God, we've got this wonderful, wonderful gift. Amen. That speaking in tongues. The New Testament, once again, was written by, and we love the New Testament. We spend and should spend most of our time in the New Testament. You know, we're never going to get away from the old, but something should click and say, whoa, wait a minute, if that was good enough for them, you know, how can we deny that tongues are for us? And these men, the disciples needed it, the apostles needed it. In order to write this great book the Old Testament too, it was Holy Ghost inspired. It was Holy Ghost inspired. So my plea as I close and desire for us is that starting today, not tomorrow, or next year, that we will become a little bit more serious about speaking in tongues and start at your house. That's where everything begins and ends, at your house. The type of Christian that you are or will be is determined by what type of Christian that you are at your house. Amen. Because everybody on the good foot when they're here. But who are you when you're at home? That determines your real Christian walk is when you're at home. You know, when you're around your contemporaries. That really defines who you are. Not when you're here, because everybody here is so nice. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Good to see you, Pastor. Love you, Pastor. How are you at home? Amen. See, that's true for all of us. You know, who are we at home is who we really are. And if having said that, you got to think and realize, hey, I got to fix some stuff. Then just fix it. Amen. When you see something broke, fix it. And that includes your life. Amen. I don't know. Y'all had some serious faces today. Y'all wasn't looking this serious at the funeral. So I don't know whether it was me or what. Amen. Sometimes the word will just have you thinking deep. It'll have you thinking deep. It'll make you look serious. But remember, here at Vicary Church, we are here to teach the. We're not trying to be politically correct. We just want to teach the Word of God. In order to do that, sometimes correction is necessary, and it'll come through the Word of God. Not that I'm shooting at people or aiming at people. It's just that we got to do better. Amen. We got to do better. Our lives should be a whole lot better than what we're seeing. We got to do better. Amen. Got to get all that sneakiness out of our life, all this undercover stuff. Our kids acting, so nice here, and they be with everybody else. They riding around in stolen cars, smoking weed with everybody else. Don't want to go to school, sleeping in class. Christian kids doing the same thing. So that's why you got to pray in the Holy Ghost. You get tight with the Holy Ghost, he will start letting you know. And the first four words come out of your children's mouth, I say, man, why are you lying to me? And then they be stuttering in. How you know? What he know? What she know? Well, the Holy Ghost will bust you. Amen. You get tight enough and serious enough, he'll show you some stuff. Amen. And then you just let them talk it out and see whether or not they're going to tell you the truth. Most of the time they won't. They'll lie. You can say, here's what really happened. Glory to God. All right. I'll stop. Thank you, Lord God. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. I want to give you an opportunity, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life.